Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America. Yes, I am Seth Merrow, and this is Racing Across America on a Saturday morning, kicking off July for our Saturday programs anyway. We were in yesterday, obviously, with OTB Live, but Saturday, July 2nd, I said at the top of the handicapping show, we are a week away from having Clare Court behind me. Well, again, if folks weren't tuned in earlier, just keep reminding people as far as the next week here on the network. I'll be in, obviously, this afternoon with OTB Live. Tomorrow with Racing Across America to do a recap of some of the really nice stakes action we have today. And then we'll unplug here and move our stuff up to our set in Saratoga and plug things in there. So during the week, that all will be happening. So we won't be live in the studio during the week, but we'll be back on Saturday morning to kind of air out the equipment and make sure everything's plugged in right just about, you know, this time or a little bit earlier a week from today. Again, we will be live from our Clare Court set on the backstretch of Saratoga. We'll also, day before the meet opens, that Wednesday, we'll do some programming. And then Thursday morning, a week and a half away from today, we will kick things off live, opening day up at Saratoga. As I said earlier, it's always fun because the biggest names in horse racing are just a golf cart ride away, and they'll pull their carts in and come sit on the set with us, and great conversations with trainers, jockeys, owners, industry types, national racing media people, and we expect another great 40 days of programming from and about Saratoga. And I reminded people again, you know, that technology is now such that you can tell your friends anywhere that they can watch us. Don't forget that the morning programming is always streamed live on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. So we'd love to have you tune in that way. If during the meet you're out on vacation, pull us up on YouTube in the morning, or as I said before, if you have friends who come into town and like the programming but then wish they could watch it when they went home to wherever that may be, you can alert them that the programming is always available, the morning programming live, streaming live on our YouTube channel, the Capital OTB YouTube channel. So remind folks of that as far as the Saratoga season, certainly, because as I say, the guest list has been very good in previous years and will be very good again this year just because of our proximity to the top names in the game. All right, let's get to it. A little bit later on, Brian Addo will join us from Gulfstream Park. It's their Summit of Speed Day. They have the Smile, Drain the Clocks in there. They have the Princess Rooney. CeCe is in there. So a solid day of stakes racing down at Gulfstream, and a very solid day of stakes racing at Churchill with the Stephen Foster and some nice undercard stakes. So we'll be joined a little bit later on also by Joe Christofek. But before we do that, I just wanted to continue to pump up the two stakes at Belmont. I talked a little bit about them earlier on the handicappers report, but I just also wanted to show some replays and just remind people again, it is a showdown coming up in the Nehrud. The post time today will be a little after 2:30 for race number 4 at Belmont. Grade 2 event, $250,000, 7 furlongs the trip. Life is Good, Speaker's Corner, and 3 others. You hate to diminish, but it looks like those two have a pretty significant edge on the bunch. Repo Rocks, Harvard, and War Toxin. I went with Life is Good, but as I said earlier, I'm going to really be interested to see where the betting public goes, because I think, to me, talent-wise, these are razor thin, and I could just as easily have gone with Speaker's Corner. But I wanted to pull up a couple of replays looking back at their most recent very big efforts, which were very big. Subsequently, both lost their most recent starts. Life is Good ran fourth in the Dubai World Cup, but going back to January 29th in the Pegasus World Cup down at Gulfstream, Life is Good is going to be the number 4 horse here at 4-5, the 80-cent to $1 favorite. Running second is number 1, Nix Go, as the 90-cent to $1 horse. and life is good on the front end, wins by a final chart margin of 3.25, gets a 10 buyer, running third, Stiletto Boy endorsed fourth, but it was all the way around, life is good in the Pegasus. And again, looking solid, triple-digit buyer, 110 high triple-digit, you know, high in that once you start to get into the 110s and above, those become triple digit is notable, 110s and above, very notable. So life is good. Pegasus World Cup, 110 buyer, subsequently goes to Dubai and disappoints running fourth, certainly. But Todd Pletcher said the horse, the track was a little deep and tiring. And I think he expects this horse off of that layoff, which I think in the Racing Form article I read was 99 days. He's looking for this race to potentially prep Life is Good for the Whitney up at Saratoga. So Life is Good in there. But Speaker's Corner, in a similar scenario, two starts back, a big win, and last time a loss. So we'll go two starts back with Speaker's Corner, which was the Grade 1 Carter on April 9th. Speaker's Corner is going to be the number 8 horse in here, running second, number 1, Reinvestment Risk. Running third, number 4, Mind Control, who had the nice win over at Monmouth a couple of weeks ago. Green Light go fourth. Chart margin for this one winds up to be 4.5. 75 cents to a dollar favorite. And he winds up with a 114 buyer figure in the Carter win. Now, subsequent to that, like Life is Good, followed up that big win with a loss. Speaker's Corner ran third last time in the Met Mile. Bill Mott said came out of that with a minor foot issue, which has since been resolved. But Todd Pletcher looking for the Whitney for Life is Good. Bill Mott looking potentially for the forego going forward for Speaker's Corner. But boy, that fourth at Belmont today, just oof, that is going to be a barn burner, fun to watch. And, you know, it's only a field of 5, but it's going to be one of the highlights of the weekend. The Stephen Foster is probably the highlight just on the situation, you know, their good field and whatnot. But this showdown will be certainly one of the races that people will be talking about leading into it this afternoon, and hopefully living up to that hype. And we'll be talking about it a lot as hopefully those two match up in the stretch and it becomes very interesting. Also, just wanted to talk quickly about the other stake as well. I talked about the Dwyer and second half of the season, I think, is going to start to define the 3-year-olds. And I mentioned Charge It, and I just wanted to go back and show his maiden breaker. This goes back to February 12th. In the debut on January 8th, he was a near miss second down at Gulfstream as the 7-5 favorite. In this follow-up, he's the 1-2 favorite. Chargett's the number 10 horse out there on the lead. He led them all the way around and wound up with a 93 buyer. This was only the second start, and as I say, they came out of this. You know, there was buzz from the racing community, you know, Twitter and whatnot. 93 buyer, second career start. You get the 8-plus length victory. And then you're up against the calendar. If you're thinking, we got a good 2-year-old and we have a good 3-year-old and we'd love to maybe consider the Kentucky Derby, you know, you got to get your preparation in. So the next race, they go to the Florida Derby. Third career start, just after a maiden breaker. They wind up a good second away to Barrio, and then they move on to the Kentucky Derby, and unfortunately, a little bit disappointing in there. But Charge It could be interesting. You know, and of the field, I think, as I say, with the second season and races like this starting to maybe have the potential to move some of these horses into that conversation among the top 3-year-olds, Charge It and the horse I had underneath, Nabokov, I think are the two that have the most potential for inserting themselves into that second half of the season conversation with good performances this afternoon. So that's the 8th race at Belmont today, the Dwyer, which I think is going to be a lot of fun as well. Also wanted to touch on We have Joe Kristofek coming up a little bit later on, as they say, and we'll get some of his thoughts on this. But just wanted to alert you that, you know, we are wrapping up the Churchill meet, going through the holiday weekend through Monday. And I always like, Saratoga's always a lot of fun, but a lot of meets have become fun over the past few years as far as looking at the human side of things. And unfortunately, fortunately for him, but unfortunately, if you're looking for a little drama, there is not much there on the jockey side of things down at Churchill. Tyler Gaffleon, who just came out of Florida and really put together quite a career so far. Tyler Gaffleon, after yesterday's races at Churchill, sits with 59 wins. Ricardo Santana with 32. So it's a done deal for Tyler. He's going to be the leading jockey. But as you can see there, Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen, this is going to come down to the wire. This is a little bit interesting on the trainer side of things over the next 3 days. Brad Cox, after yesterday, 22 wins at the meet. Steve Asmussen with a 21. Joe Sharp has 15. So it's pretty much between Asmussen and Brad Cox. One win difference at this point. But I looked it up over the next 3 days. The numbers may favor Asmussen. Over the next 3 days, Brad Cox has only 8 entered. Steve Asmussen has 17 entered over the next 3 days. So it looks like the numbers are kind of, he's one behind, but on the numbers could be rather intriguing going into those last 3 days with the trainers' battle. Daily Racing 4, Marty McGee reporting that Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike is back in late training and is being pointed to the Travers, and they're not expecting a race in the interim. Travers at Saratoga will be next for Rich Strike, said the trainer, adding an interim prep following his sixth-place finish in the Belmont is very unlikely. So that's intriguing that they're going to go from the Belmont straight to the Travers. Been kind of taking it easy. Eric Reed, the trainer, says he's back galloping every day. We're just trying to keep him happy. Reed says, I'm thinking about working him once here at Mercury. That's the Mercury Training Center in Lexington. That work toward the end of July. Then bring him back to Churchill Downs for a work or two in company there before we head up to Saratoga. But also, a little bit intriguing. The article ends by saying the 80-1 victory, making him the second longest price in race history, has made for a number of serious offers from movie producers. I guess you have the underdog story, and that just makes for a good movie, I guess. And Eric Reed is quoted as saying, I've had people out here all morning with me. We haven't signed anything yet, but I do have a good friend who's been vetting everything for us. We've hired someone to handle it all, whatever it is that materializes. So who knows? There may be a Rich Strike movie coming to a theater near you at some point. We'll see how that works out. There was a Mind That Bird movie. I don't think I ever saw the Mind That Bird movie, which I don't know what that bodes for the Rich Strike movie, but it looks like there is potential for a Rich Strike movie to show up. Do note, Sandown today, if you're a follower of international racing, the Coral Eclipse Group 1 event, it's one of the top Group 1s over there. That'll be run today, 1.25 miles on the turf, go off about 10:35 our time. And it's a nice little field. Field is 6, but Bay Bridge comes in off a second place finish in the Prince of Wales at Royal Ascot. Mishriff is in. That one coming off a poor performance in the Saudi Cup. But Mishriff, obviously a very talented performer. All of that said, the favorite is a 3-year-old based over in France, Vadeni, who on the morning line is 3-2, coming in from a win over in Chanty most recently and a career record of 4 wins in 6 starts. So we'll see what the 3-year-old can potentially do in today's Coral Eclipse. Again, that's at Sandown in the UK. All right, we'll take a break. As promised, Brian Addo taking a little look at Gulfstream. Joe Kristofek with some thoughts on Churchill Downs this afternoon. Some great stakes action coming up later on, and we'll give it a little preview right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an upside.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before, it is Sprint Day, Summit of Speed Day down at Gulfstream with the Smile Sprint and the Princess Rooney. So I thought we'd reach out to our friend Brian Addo. You see him in the paddock every day with Ron and company. And who better to give us some thoughts on the nice stakes action this afternoon? Brian, good morning.
Chad, good to hear from you, buddy. Yeah, good morning to you, too. And it's our big summer weekend down here, the Summit of Speed. We got a stakes tomorrow, the Bob Humphrey, but the big day today, not only the Grade 3 Smile, which the Breeders' Cup sprint points on the line, but of course the feature Princess Rooney with CC back, defending champion, Eclipse Award winner, and an automatic berth in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Dirt Sprint is on the line too.
Yeah, nice looking pair of stakes this afternoon. Before we get to that, I want to go back because I was in here watching the other day, and it was fun to see Edgar Zayas get back and after a long period of rehab from shoulder surgery, got the win a couple of days ago, and then came right back and won the next race as well. So that was nice to see a guy who, when he left, was riding very well, but just decided, hey, it's time to take care of the shoulder. So he was on the sidelines for a while, but has now come back successfully.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he had to kind of pull the ripcord when he did, it was right on the precipice of the championship meet, kind of tells you probably, you know, he just couldn't go on anymore, probably in a lot of pain. He had a little setback, too. But, yeah, you know, he came back last weekend, and I think even he probably would have admitted, you know, he's got to get his legs under him, so to speak. You know, it's tough to just go from 0 to 60, you know, to be a finishing rider and all that kind of stuff. So he rode well last weekend, but he didn't get a win. But, yeah, he picked up a couple on Thursday, and then he won one yesterday as well. So, you know, he's not going to crack the leaderboard, Seth. He's too far behind. But I think everybody knows that, you know, when he's 100%, he's as good as any rider we have down here in the colony.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate that he had to go to the sidelines when he did, but, you know, probably you would expect making that a tough decision. It was probably the right move to do, and we will see going forward, but it was good to see him get back in the winner's circle. All right, let's take a look. Again, we'll take a look at the two stakes, and we'll start things out taking a look at the Smile Sprint. I'm interested to hear your thoughts here because Drain the Clock is clearly the one to beat, but does come out of the disappointment over in Dubai. And really, if you drew a line through the Gulfstream Park Sprint, number-wise, I'm not sure he's a standout. Absolute Grit for Rowan Crichton, I think, coming off the win last time is interesting. Pudding for Elizabeth Dobles, won the sprint stake at Tampa a couple starts back. Willie Boy for Delgado is coming in off a couple of wins. I think there are alternatives, but again, class-wise, we're going to take a look at the race two back for Drain the Clock. He disappointed in Dubai, but in the Gulfstream Park sprint, he ran second, but it may be his best race given the buyer of 102. Miles Ahead, who shows up today at Churchill, is the winner, the number four horse. Drain the Clock, the number six, is second. And again, winds up with a 102 buyer. That's what people are going to look at. I think, as I say, if you draw a line through that, though, the race is maybe more competitive than it might at first seem. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think everything you said, Seth, is just super fair because, you know, he's a grade one winner. He beat Jackie Boyer, for Pete's sake. But, I mean, he's not really confused with a horse that's ever run fast.
Yeah.
It's like exactly what you said. You take that one race out, and he's kind of one of the slower horses in the race. So, and then, you know, he did not run at all in Dubai. He just didn't fire. You know, maybe you can draw a line through it, and maybe he didn't handle what can be a quirky surface, and that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But then you said, like you said, now he's coming back from Dubai, and that's not the easiest thing in the world. So I'm leery, Seth, and to me, it's a two-horse race. I'll be stunned if someone other than Willie Boy or Drain the Clock wins. But this is Willie Boy's race to me. He's been so good in two starts for Jorge Delgado. Okay, yeah, he's got the acid test today, but you can't draw up a better set of circumstances for Willie Boy today. It's like if he's not winning this race today, I don't know how he's getting a graded stakes win because he gets Drained the Clock off the dud in Dubai, and he's outside of him, and it's the perfect post. You know, I talked to Chantel yesterday, and we'll air that interview if you guys happen to have the volume up during the day. I think we're going to air it maybe like race five or something like that. I can even text you. But anyway, you know, he's perfectly drawn, and all she's got to do is break and then look to the left and see what's going on because she can lead if nobody wants to go. But I'm sure you've looked at it, Seth. There's a lot of speed in the race. And Willie Boy doesn't need the race, and he was really, really good last time, and he seems to be moving forward. And I just kind of think he's the now horse, and he's the right horse today in this particular spot. Is he better than Drain the Clock? You know what? I don't know, but you know, but today on July 2nd, he might well be.
Yeah, as I say, it's a fun race. And again, as you noted, a grade one winner, Drain the Clock. He's got that triple-digit buyer that a lot of people will focus on. But I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes and how it all shakes out. A little bit later on, the Princess Rooney grade two event for the ladies going 7 furlongs. And this is an interesting race, too, because CeCe obviously is going to take a lot of attention. Comes out of, however, a couple of two-turn races at Oaklawn, one of which she won, the Azari, but then finished third behind Latruska and the Apple Blossom. But she's maybe more of a sprinter in that we're going to take a look here going back to November, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. She wins that. She's going to be the number four horse here. And so cutting back to a sprint is obviously not going to be a problem, although you always wonder, is the speed maybe dulled a little bit by the two-turn races? Does come in with a solid 59 and change workout, however. So she's intriguing. But Mark Cassie brings in – there are a couple of horses coming in from New York. Mark Cassie brings in the New York bred Make Mischief, coming in off a win against New York breds in the Critical Eye last time. So Make Mischief for Cassie, very interesting. And Glass Ceiling for Charlie Baker comes in off a third in the Bed of Roses most recently, but had ripped off four straight before that in New York and Laurel, including the Barbara Fritchie. So again, I think the Princess Rooney has a logical horse that people will go to, but some interesting alternatives.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there too, Seth. I'm not looking to beat CC today. She won the race last year, you know, so obviously we don't have to worry about the track. We don't have to worry about her shipping. I think at the end of the day, and I know she won the Apple Blossom a few years ago, but I think at the end of the day, she's a better one-turn horse. And, you know, the other thing that really helps her too is that anybody else you want to talk about in the race, and and certainly, Mark's horse, the New York bred, is drawn well, and Charlie's horse getting back to a fast main track is going to help her too. The weather's great down here, by the way. But they all want to go in some way, shape, or form. And then you got Spirit Wind, who's a freakishly fast horse. She did settle last time, but she's kind of pot committed down on the rail. And it just kind of, to me, all plays into CC's hand as what should be a dream trip. Now, I will say this, not as much yesterday, but on Thursday, nobody passed the horse, okay? Yeah. Literally nobody passed anyone on the main track. I think we only had four dirt races, but horses went fast and they never came back. So food for thought, you know, maybe if you're watching the races at home and you could, and the track's doing that again, we'll see. But I just thought at the end of the day, A, CC's the best horse, and B, she gets the best flow in the race as well. And you put those kind of two things together, and it's very problematic for the rest of the group.
Yeah, between the two, CC and Drain the Clock, I'm kind of with you. The one I would more lean towards as being more likely is CC. I mean, that Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint victory certainly jumps off the page in that respect. I know you look at Churchill for the one sheet, so I'll just ask if you have any thoughts this afternoon on the Stephen Foster. I think it's I'm going to take a little shot with Olympiad over Mandalone. I'm very intrigued to see what American Revolution does off the fourth place finish last time. And I think Cattle River could be a little bit intriguing too. But do you have any thoughts on the Foster?
Well, I think, Mandaloon's almost a lot like Drain the Clock. You know, he's coming back now from a total no-show in Saudi Arabia. And, it's a big ask, and there's some real horses in there. And I'm not so sure Olympiad's not a better horse anyway. So I do like him in there. And, I agree with you. I think Todd's horse has got every right to improve off a race he certainly needed last time. So I think he's supposed to move forward. I don't know if maybe 9 furlongs on a true 9 furlongs at Churchill Downs is stretching his rubber band thin a little bit. But, I would think this is kind of the spot that Todd had in mind all along, and he got so good at the end of last year. Cigar Mile was awesome. So, yeah, I expect a big move forward from him too, but I like Olympiad in this spot. I think he's the now horse, and again, a lot like Willie Boy and Drain the Clock, he's catching Mandaloon at the right time. We'll see what we get for Mandaloon, but boy, he didn't fire over there in Saudi Arabia. And if he runs back to his race at Fairgrounds, he's probably going to win. I'm not sure Olympiad can handle that, but again, if Olympiad, today's the right day, a lot like Willie Boy.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a fun matchup. And then Pletcher and Mott in the Nehrud up in New York, Speaker's Corner versus Life is Good makes for a good matchup today as well. I think there's some very, very good stakes action, including those two sprint stakes down at Gulfstream today. And we will certainly be tuned in, and always appreciate the comments you and Ron and company offer up down there at Gulfstream. And we'll look for you up in Saratoga. We'll pull you over on the backside and chat a little more up in Saratoga in a few weeks.
I will see you in the 518, Seth. And, 2 weeks from today, we'll figure something out. I'll be up there opening weekend. So, yeah, we'll get together and we'll talk some racing and pop over, get to see everybody. It'll be great. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it as well. Brian, thanks, and good luck to everybody this afternoon.
All right, Seth, you too. Take care.
Brian Addo, again, the paddock commentator down at Gulfstream. It is Summit of Speed Day with a couple of really nice stakes on the card down there. I'm just looking here. Dan, can we pull up the Coral Eclipse? So why don't we, I'm showing 2 minutes, so maybe go to a break and then come back and show the race. All right. Why don't we do that? Cause it's one of the top group ones over there, Mishriff in there. And again, the favorite is the 3-year-old from France. So we'll head to a quick break. We'll come back. We'll show the Coral Eclipse, and then we'll be joined by Joe Christofek from Churchill. Stay tuned.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Bad leap drawn, but you said it won't ease down, and it probably not seen the best there by Churchill. Guinea's winner, Verdini. Right, time for put the two in. So this is Bay Bridge. Bay Bridge is one nearest to us in the Rebel of Blue Cap by French Derby winner New Bay. Now Bay Bridge. Was impressive when he went over caution distance. Won the Brigadier Gerard here earlier on in the year. That was probably not a brilliant race, though. It was impressive, but it wasn't the best of races. But has got good form figures at Sandown. At this trip. Won loads of the trip. Went off of favouritism to win the Princess of Wales Stakes. Prince of Wales Stakes at Newbury. At Ascot the other day. But couldn't get to the winner. It was given a good ride from the front. That was State of Rest. Bay Bridge, this was that one here, backing away. Bay Bridge, trained by Michael Stout. He's won it six times to Michael Stout, the last time with Ulysses. He's one of Opera House, Azud, Pulselski, Medician, and Not Now Cato. Anyway, he's got every chance with Baybridge. Ron Moore gets a leg up on this one. Others to mention. We've got to mention them all. We've got Mishriff. Now, this time last year, if you'd have said Mishriff was going off about 8.0 to win this, you'd be surprised, because it's so impressive when he won the Judd Martin International at York over about this trip. When it beat Alan Kerr, who reopposed today. That's Alan Kerr to the left. But it's six lengths. However, the wheels have slightly come off there, Mishriff, since that win. Disappointed the Champion Stakes, and then was tailed off over in Saudi Arabia. But has won three group races, Mishriff. Been off a long time and was well back earlier, 9.0, and it's holding its price. That's clearly fancied to run much better, Mishriff. And then we've got, Native Trail. It's going to go in now. Native Trail, William Buick and Charlie Up. He won this race twice with Gahiaf and Hawkbill. If you bet Native Trail, don't despair if those jockeys start shoving away, because that's the way that one tends to roll. This is Mishriff going in. He's won a few quid, Mishriff. He wouldn't have minded having 5% of that one. And we've got Alan Kerr, big price. A good judge in the building fancies this. Now, this one ran for a brick wall to win the Tatsells Gold Cup the other day. Came from off the pace. There's not a lot of pace in this race. Not sure where the pace will come from. And Verdini is another one who has had races in France where he's been beaten for lack of pace, and he's had a pacemaker. No pacemaker here. I'm having a guess. Alan Kerr has won over the trip. Might possibly make the run here. That might be totally wrong. They've got Lord North going in, a six-year-old. Here we go. Should be a cracker. Best of luck.
In the Coral Eclipse, Mishriff a step slowly away. Alan Kerr will take the early lead. He leads already by three parts of a length. Bay Bridge is in second. Lord North moving up to the inside. The Mishriff has now made a couple of places. On his outside is Native Trail, and the back marker early is Vadini. As they go down the back straight, they have a mile to go in the Group 1 Coral Eclipse. The leader is Alan Kerr. Alan Kerr now takes them on towards the final seven. 7 furlongs. He leads still by about a length or so to Lord North on the inside, and on the outside is Bay Bridge. Next in the field is Native Trail. He's racing at the moment alongside Mishriff, and still at the back of the field is Vadini as they now go inside the final three quarters of a mile. It's Alain Kerr and Tom Marcand who still have the lead over Bay Bridge and Ryan Moore racing in second place. To the inside rail, Lord North and James Doyle in third. Native Trail, William Buick in fourth. Mishriff, David Egan in fifth position, and Christophe Soumillon and Vadini still last of the classy six as they make the turn back towards home. They have a half mile to go in the Coral Eclipse, and Alain Kerr will lead them into the home straight. It's Alain Kerr who leads. Baybridge has always been his shadow in second. To the inside, Lord North covered up in third. Ridden to the outside now is Native Trail. Mishriff between rivals. Still at the back of the field is Vadini. They're bunching up now with just over a quarter of a mile to go. Alain Kerr is hanging tough on his outside. Baybridge has a share of the lead. Native Trail, Vadini out very wide is staying on. Lord North is splitting rivals. Mishriff in close quarters looking for racing room. It is now Vadini on the outside. On the inside, Lord North. Native Trail between those two. Vadini has got the lead. A half furlong to go in the Coral Eclipse. Vadini, Native Trail, Mishriff on the outside. Vadini wins it for France. Vadini, who has taken the Coral Eclipse. It's very tight for second. And unlucky in the run, Mishriff was right there. So too Native Trail. And Lord North has run huge. But this has gone to France.
I think the commentator enjoyed that, didn't he? Vadini, the winner, just hangs on. Christophe Soumillon giving it large already. Back in second could be Mishriff. Close up third, looks like it'd be the five Native Trail. And in fourth, the three, Lord North. What a race there. And I'd like to see a replay of that one. And the two at the back, that was Bay Bridge and Alain Kerr. As the commentator said, might have been a bit unlucky in running Mishriff. Watch Mishriff now. Mishriff, we'll see. Christophe Soumillon's played it wide. Not going to get traffic problems there, aren't you, out wide? And Mishriff got done there. If you bet Mishriff, all I can suggest, you don't have another bet all day, because that was desperate, wasn't it? I didn't bet the Mishriff, by the way, but that was absolutely desperate. However, as the jockey on the outside got a nice run out wide. He was out wide. Class act is Vadini. And he said, won the French Derby. Partly felt of a good draw, but not a problem today. But what a good race. You wouldn't mind seeing that run in 2 weeks' time, but I'm afraid that won't be happening, will it? I expect some of them might go to York for the Jubmont, but Mishriff, well, if you bet, you're watching the head-on, be even worse if you bet Mishriff here. But Mishriff is not run for quite a while, and had won the Jubmont last year by six lengths. And there was just no room there, was it? Anyway, Vadini, this colt by 2,000 guineas, Irish 2,000 guineas, was a Churchill, very game, and supplemented on Monday, and the horse is very resolute. Back in second is going to be Mishriff. In third, I think it was Native Trail, wasn't it, the five? And in fourth, close up in fourth, Lord North. Oh, Lord North, and he got done after the line there. Lord North, he's a six.
Quite the performance from the France-based three-year-old Vadini, getting it done. Mishriff second. That was sitting in the back of the pack, as they said when they were loading in. They were wondering where the pace was going to come from and if that would compromise him. But no, he makes a nice stretch run, the three-year-old getting it done in the Coral Eclipse. Mishriff runs second. All right, as promised before we went to the race, joined now by our friend Joe Christofek. You see him down in the paddock, Churchill Downs every day, and I continue to compliment him and the team. One of my favorite paddock shows. I think they have some nice innovations and whatnot. Scott Shapiro and the entire team down there. Saw Kevin Kirstein join the team for a little bit yesterday, and they always do a great job. But I thought we'd reach out to Joe closing weekend at Churchill Downs and talk some of the very, very nice stakes action today and more. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. How's it going?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. And top of the show, I was doing a little news and notes, and I alerted people, keep your eyes on Churchill this weekend, not just for the great stakes action today, but the human side of things is going to be interesting. Not with Tyler Gaffleon. Once again, he's just been phenomenal since the move out of Florida. He has just been so good in Kentucky. He has clearly got the jockey title sewed up. But it's going to be fun on the trainer side of things. Brad Cox with a one-win lead coming into today. over Steve Asmussen. But I looked it up, and Asmussen may have the numbers in his favor over the next 3 days. Brad Cox with 8 entrants, Asmussen with 17. But it's still going to be fun to watch over the next 3 days, that trainer battle.
Yeah, for sure. And they were the two favorites coming into the spring meet, and they're going to run 1-2. We'll see what order they wind up. But who knows? Maybe we'll have a tie, Seth.
Yeah, that absolutely could happen because they're right there. I will also say on the jockey side of things, as I say, Tyler Gaffalione has it sewed up, but I'm sitting in here watching the feed every day and watching you guys the pregame show and during the afternoon. And over the last couple of weeks, there have been a couple of jockey milestones, Churchill milestones, a couple of jockeys who put in lifetime efforts. Was it Julien Lepereau had the big number? And then there was another jock that had a lifetime best. But that's been fun to watch, too. Just these guys. Oh, Bejarano had the big number as well. Again, victories at Churchill Downs. And I must say, when Bejarano had the number, I had forgotten he had started his career at Churchill, essentially, before he went out and really kind of made his name on the West Coast. But now he's back over in Kentucky. But as I say, that's been a fun story for the spring-summer meet as well.
Yeah, Lepereau dominated during his early years apprenticeship and first few years as a journeyman. He's got 1,000 wins here at Churchill Downs, more than a third of his career total, actually. Bejarano's got 500-plus wins here now. And Adam Biskitza got his 100th career win here. And Joe Sharp's got 99 career wins at Churchill, sitting on a little bit of a milestone of his own. I think it's really cool. You know, there's a lot of milestones in sports. You know, Darren Rogers, Kevin Kirstein, they do a great job of keeping track of this stuff and giving credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I think it's fun, well-deserved, and folks should get a little pat on the back for those kind of numbers. All right, let's jump in and look at the stakes action because it really is a great stakes card here on closing weekend down there. Let's kind of start from the Stephen Foster and work our way back. Stephen Foster, a really nice field. Mandaloon and Olympiad. I'm going to be interested to see if American Revolution rebounds. Cattle River, I think, is live. But I'm tilting towards Olympiad off of this race we're about to look at, the Ali Sheba. Olympiad's going to be the number 5 horse here. Going to get it done by a chart margin of over 2 lengths. Happy Saver will run 2nd. Title Ready 3rd. But I just thought this was a big performance, and I'm going to tilt in that direction. What are your thoughts on the Foster?
Yeah, how often do you see a horse's past performances that almost look identical race to race for Olympiad, sitting 2nd every race, taking over every race, and winning his last 4 starts in very similar fashion? The last 3 stakes races, almost by the same margin, 2 lengths or a little bit more than that. The tests just keep getting tougher. Mandaloon's going to be a tough test today. He's already beaten Proxy. Cattle River, you know, is interesting, most likely making the lead for Brad Cox as well. But every test that Olympiad has faced so far, he's passed, and then some. And I pretty much expect much of the same today. You know, everyone's talking about how great Mandaloon's training since Saudi. That's great, but Mandaloon always trains great.
Yeah.
He's still, I think, has to prove that he can be an upper echelon handicap horse. You know, he beat Midnight Bourbon earlier this year, but Midnight Bourbon hasn't really done a lot of winning in his career. Olympiad just knows how to win.
Yeah, and Bill Mott having a good day with Speaker's Corner in New York as well, and a couple of prime players now in the handicap division, and Olympiad has the chance to solidify that even a little more this afternoon. A little bit earlier on the card, it's the Kelly's Landing. They're going to go 6.5 furlongs. I'm going to tilt towards Aloha Weston here, and I was never really enamored with this horse, but I just went back, and we're going to pull up and take a look at the Breeders' Cup Sprint from last November. He's going to be the number 5 horse in here getting it done. That was the 3rd in a string of triple-digit buyers. And this year's first 2 races haven't quite been as good, but they were behind Jackie's Warrior and Flightline, so I kind of gave him a little bit of a pass. So I tilt towards Aloha West, but I have some trepidation. I think Bango is interesting, Knee Deep in Snow, Bob's Edge. I think it's a fun race. What do you see in the Kelly's Landing?
I think there's 2 ways of looking at this race. One way is Aloha West is the best horse in the race. and he's been facing two of the best horses in training this year, in Jackie's Warrior and Flightline. And he's going to win because he's the best horse in the race. The other school of thought is this race is an afterthought for Aloha West, who ran in the Met Mile, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And now he's back at Churchill Downs, and he's got a bullet work here. And like I said, he's the best horse in the race. But Bengal loves this track, and, you know, he's running out of his own stall, and he's been pointing to this race the entire time. I wouldn't be shocked if somebody else won. I'd be a little bit surprised. Those two, to me, seem to stand out a little bit on paper. A little bit of a coin flip, but you mentioned it, Seth. There's no Flightline. There's no Jackie's Warrior in this field, and I think Joel Rosario is a really good fit for Aloha West. You know, he takes over for Jose Ortiz, who did win the Breeders' Cup Sprint on him, but I just think he'll get this horse to settle and finish, which is his best style.
Yeah, and Bango, the defending champ in the race, 7 wins and 13 starts at Churchill, so he's a valid opponent. Like I said, I think it's a fun addition to the Kelly's Landing. A little bit earlier, it is the Fleur de Lis Grade 2 event for the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth. Boy, I've liked Pauline's Pearl for a while now. She's been on my radar. And that La Troyenne, we're going to take a look. She's going to run first in here. She Dares the Devil run second. Pauline's Pearl, the number 6. She Dares the Devil, number 2. They're back at it. Subsequent to this race, Pauline's Pearl disappointed me a little bit as the 2-5 favorite in the Shawnee. So I went back and forth and back and forth, but I still had to stick with her this afternoon. Super Quick off of that triple-digit buyer win at Pimlico had me scratching my chin a little bit. I wasn't quite sure what to do with her for Norm Cassie, but that rate, was that a race an aberration or a signal of things to come? You could make a case for that horse, but I'm going with Pauline's Pearl over She Dares the Devil again. Your thoughts on the Fleur de Lis?
Yeah, I'm going with Pauline's Pearl, too, and not without trepidation, but there are 3 horses in this race that would prefer to be on the lead if they could. Super Quick's got to go from the rail. Ava's Grace likes to be forward. She Dares the Devil likes to be forward. I mean, this race is going to set up for Pauline's Pearl and or the horse that beat her last time, She's All Wolf, who basically took advantage of a bunch of horses that didn't show up with their best effort, although Army Wife did come back to win a stake in her subsequent start at Thistledown. You know, that huge speed figure that Super Quick got, a lot of people are going to like her. A lot of people are going to bet her off that race. But, man, she's got to prove herself with this kind at this level. The Double Dog Dare was a pretty good race for her. She ran 3rd to Malafat and Bonnie South. And, you know, like I said, she's got to go from the rail, but she's going to get pressure. This is the kind of horse that needs a loose and lonely lead, I think, for her best. And I think she's dressed up. I think she's going to be over bet. She Dares the Devil. You know, she's probably lost a step and a half from the horse that we saw win at Kentucky Oaks. But she should get that perfect pressing trip outside of Super Quick. And she's won that way before, several times, in fact, just sitting second, taking over as the best horse and winning the race. But that being said, she got beat by Pauline's Pearl on the square and the La Troyenne. So, you know, I kind of compare Pauline's Pearl to She's a Julie, who Steve Asmussen used to have. She's a grade one winner, but, you know, she was more of a second-tier horse in that division. She threw in her share of clunkers, too, and that would seem to show up on the big days. I got a feeling Pauline's Pearl is going to bounce back. And the race just sets up for her, like I said, in a short field with 3 horses that would prefer to be on the lead.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in there. And as I say, I've liked her for a while, so I'm sticking this afternoon. Also on the card, the American Derby. A couple $100,000 up for grabs for the 3-year-olds going 8.5 furlongs. And again, we're at that time of year. I talked about it on the show earlier where the Triple Crown didn't define the 3-year-olds at this point. They're waiting for the summer, I think, for somebody to kind of really take hold of the division. And this race, the Dwyer in New York today, has the potential to put some horses in the conversation. I'm going to tilt towards Rattle and Roll in here, and I'm going to go back and show the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last October. Rattle and Roll in a large field of 13, going to be the number 6 horse, and get it done for Kenny McPeak. Subsequently, as a 3-year-old, hasn't quite lived up to that, but comes out of the 3rd in the Met win last time behind Cyberknife. And I'm just going to give this one a little shot. The 3-1 morning line doesn't attract me, and I don't necessarily think that's wrong. I wish I could get a little more value, though. McLaren Vale, I think, is intriguing. OP Firecracker. Kuchar for Rudy Brissett off the big win last time, but it wasn't off the turf or at a mile and a quarter. But this is an intriguing group of three-year-olds. How did you see the American Derby?
For me, I'm going to compare the American Derby to a disappointing Christmas morning where you just know you're going to get the gifts that you asked for, and then you wind up getting a pair of socks or an ugly sweater instead. I love Double Clutch. I loved War Campaign. They're both going to be prices, and they both scratched. Ah. So that led me to my third choice, McLaren Vale, who I'm not in love with, but I think she got a confidence-boosting win in Indiana last time. She's obviously very well-bred. She's cut out to be a good horse. And you know what, Seth? There's just not a lot of speed in this race. I think this Son of Gunrunner is going to have a tactical advantage with Louis Saez putting this horse in the race early. So I kind of defaulted to that one. But remember those names, Double Clutch and War Campaign, because there's a chance it could show up at Saratoga or elsewhere. Very, very high on both of those horses moving forward.
All right, we'll do. We'll put those, we'll make a note on those two. Finally, the stakes action will kick off race number 6 this afternoon, the Tepin, couple hundred thousand dollars, the one turn mile. I'm going to pull up the Leslie's Lady overnight stake from June 12th. It's going to be number 2, Wicked Halo, getting it done. I thought off of that race, this horse just seems to be in good form and maybe improving form. The aforementioned Tyler Gaffleone on board. I'm going to tilt in that direction, you know, kind of master the obvious. What did you see in the Tepin?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to be the master of the obvious here with Wicked Halo. I mean, I guess the only tiny hole you could poke is she's never been a mile, but she's by Gunrunner out of a Tappet mare. She handled 7 furlongs with no problem. That was a great ride by Tyler Gaffleone that day. And I know it was just a 5-horse field, but Pretty Birdie looked like she was going to get loose on the lead. And, you know, Tyler put her in the race, put her right behind Wicked Halo, had the stamina to wear her down, and she just looks like a standout in this race today. Hardy Constitution's got some ability, but the mental side of the game is where she needs to catch up. If you watched that race last time when she ran 2nd to Falconette, she was kind of flopping lead. She was swishing her tail. She was drifting a little bit in the stretch. I thought maybe she would put blinkers on and she might moving forward, but I really think the mental side of the game has got to catch up to the physical ability that she has, but she would be the obvious second choice in a field of 4.
Yeah, really a great stakes card today, and it's been a fun spring-summer meet. You guys always do a great job, and we wish you all the best on this closing weekend as well. But, Joe, as always, when we have you on the phone, we like to talk a little Brilliant Racing, your partnership, and as always, I pulled up the website, and I would recommend people who are thinking, hey, I'd like to get into a horse, maybe go over to the Brilliant Racing website, which is brilliant horseracing.com, to learn a little more about it. But we were talking before we went on the air, you've got a brilliant horse coming up imminently here. Just update us on the racing partnership and what's coming up.
Yeah, the filly, we got the 4-year-old filly, Busy Echo. She won at the end of May, and then she had a race canceled due to the heat on June 15th, and she's back in tomorrow at starter 50. Talked to Scott Shapiro. He picked her 2nd, so that makes me feel good in a field of 11. She seems like she's really on top of her game, better than she's ever been right now. She should show speed and get first run on some of the late runners in that particular race. We got Tyler Gaffleone again, so that's obviously a plus. Yes, as Ginger worked 48 half mile today. She's sitting on go for the Chicken Fried Steaks, a defense of her title, July 16th at Lone Star. Looking forward to making that road trip. She's in fold in McLean's Music, and I think I told you before, Seth, we're going to offer her up in the November sale. She's made $300,000+. She's won a couple of stakes, and we're going to run her a couple of times in full and look forward to selling her at Keeneland in November. We've got some babies on the grounds. Looking forward to some runs, maybe at Colonial and Churchill Downs in September and in November moving forward. And then we're going to attack the Keeneland September yearling sale again this year. We're going to announce Partnership 5 in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and I pulled up your Twitter feed, and I tell people to go check that out, too. And you had folks from the most recent partnership got a little meet and greet down there, and that's part of the fun of it. You know, we see a lot of partnership groups up at Saratoga in the paddock and or hopefully in the winner's circle, and a lot of it is just the social aspect of, you know, being able to kind of go to the track and meet and make new friends and enjoy horse racing and maybe get a little inside on the backstretch as well. And certainly it seems like your brilliant horse racing partnership has been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, it's like joining a country club, you know, that costs a heck of a lot less money because you do that, you know, for the social aspect and the camaraderie, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's a little bit more of a status thing. This is more of a be a part of something. And, you know, when we win a race and we've been fortunate to win 17 out of 101 starts and we've been doing really well specifically over the last couple of years, there's no feeling like it. You know, it's a very, you know, reasonable price point. You get to meet a lot of new friends and people that have a love of the game, not only from a handicapping and gambling perspective, but, you know, we love our horses and try our best to develop them and give them every chance to be as good as they can be. That's how we approach our partnerships. And we're very proud of the success we've had so far and how we go about things.
And I know you've had local folks involved, Saratoga folks involved in some of the horses in the past. And I would, again, advise people if they're thinking about that type of thing, brilliant horseracing.com, to learn a little bit more. Joe, as always, appreciate the visit. As I say, good luck to you and everybody down at Churchill. And again, pass my compliments on to your team pregame show and the paddock commentary. I would say it's like with you guys, it's like listening to three or four guys you'd like to be sitting with at the track and having that same conversation anyway. So it's always fun to watch you guys, and you do a great job. Good luck through the remainder of the meet. And if you make it up to Saratoga, give us a call and we'll have you sit in with us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking horses with you in person, Seth, over a cold one at Druthers, hopefully in the next few weeks.
Sounds good. Joe, appreciate it.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
Joe Kristofek, again, the paddock commentator down at Churchill. Great day here on Stephen Foster Day as the weekend. We'll wrap up that spring-summer meet. Good stakes at Belmont with the Nayrud and the Dwyer. Life is Good versus Speaker's Corner. That should be fun. Brian Edo took a look at the two Summit of Speed stakes down at Gulfstream. Should be a fun afternoon, and we will be looking at all of it in about an hour and a half or so. We'll come back for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And I'll remind you one more time here. The game plan over the next week as far as programming here on the network, be back in tomorrow for Racing Across America to you know, recap the nice stakes action from today. And then we'll unplug here. We'll move the equipment up, plug it in up at Saratoga. So while all that happens over the course of the next week, after tomorrow's Racing Across America, over the course of the next week, there won't be anything from the studio. Obviously, all the regular horse racing will be here. I just won't be in with OTB Live over the next week. But we'll be back in with the backdrop of Clare Court behind me a week from today, as we'll come back on next Saturday morning to fire things up and check out all our equipment and do a dry run, as it were, live on the air. With Racing Across America next Saturday. We'll also be on the Wednesday, the day before the track opens, with a little bit, and then a week and a half or so, opening day that Thursday, we'll kick off live from Saratoga. Should be fun. So again, over the course of the next week, the afternoon programming will be on the sidelines as we move all our equipment up there. But I'll be in this afternoon and tomorrow morning with Racing Across America, so you still have that to look forward to, or hopefully look forward to. Otherwise, I will step out, wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday, July 2nd. Again, really great action this afternoon. So, you know, stick around, tune in for all of that, and hopefully enjoy and cash some tickets. Otherwise, I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America. We always appreciate your tuning in, your patronage here, as it were, watching the show and whatnot. And again, be back in about an hour and a half, 12:30 or so after the NYRA pregame show. We will jump in for a Saturday afternoon OTB Live. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.